They had ridden 5 days in the vast assembly of men and animals. It rolled ponderously northwards across the desert. Penrod Ballantyne swiveled on the saddle of his camel to look back. The dust of their progress reached the horizon and rose to the sky. 50,000 fighting men? He wondered. But we will never know for sure. Nobody can count them. All the emirs of the southern tribes and all their warriors too. What power does this man, Muhammad Ahmed, wield that he can bring together such a multitude, made up of tribes that for 500 years have been riven by feud and blood feud? Then he turned back in the saddle and looked to the north, the direction in which this vast host was riding. Stuart has only 2,000 men to oppose them. In all the wars of all the ages, did odds such as these ever prevail? He put aside the thought and tried to work out how far back Jakob and he were from the vanguard of this mighty cavalcade. Without drawing attention to themselves, they had to work their way gradually to the front. It was only from that position that they could break away and make a final dash for the wells of Gakdul. The dervish were pacing their camels, not driving them so hard that they would be unfit to take part in the battle ahead. That they were moving so quietly and not rushing into battle reassured Penrod that Stuart must still be encamped there. They passed slowly through another loose formation of dervish. These were hard desert tribesmen with swords and shields slung across their backs. Most were mounted on camels, and each led a string of pack camels carrying tents and ammunition cases, cooking pots, food bags and water skins. Trailing along behind them were the traders and petty merchants of Omdurman, their camels also heavily laden with trade goods and merchandise. After the battle, when the Ansar were rolling in loot, there would be rich profits. At the head of this formation rode a small group of Ansar on fine Arab steeds which had been lovingly curried until their hides shone in the sunlight like polished metal. Their long silky manes had been combed out and plaited with coloured ribbons. Their trappings and tack were of painted and beautifully decorated leather. The horsemen sat upon their backs with the panache and studied arrogance of warriors. "Agajias," Jakob muttered as they drew closer. "The killers of the elephant." Penrod drew the tail of his turban closer over his mouth and nose, so that only his eyes showed, and edged aside his camel to pass the group at a safe distance. As they drew level with them, they saw the horsemen staring across at them. They were animatedly discussing the two strangers. Damn Rider Courtney for his taste in camel flesh. For the first time since leaving Khartoum, Penrod bemoaned the quality of their mounts. They were magnificent creatures, more befitting a khalifa or a powerful emir than a lowly tribesman. Even in this vast assembly they stood out as thoroughbreds. Jakob urged his camel forward at a faster clip, and Penrod cautioned him sharply. "Gently, fearful Jakob. Their eyes are upon you. When the mice run, the cat pounces." Jakob reined in, and they continued at a more leisurely pace. But this did not deter the Agajias. Two broke away from the group and rode across to them.
"They are of the Beja," Jakob said hoarsely. "They mean us no good."
"Steady, glib and cunning Jakob, you must deceive them with your ready tongue." The leading Agajia came up and reined his bay mare down to a walk. "The blessings of Allah and his victorious Mahdi upon you, strangers. What is your tribe and who is your emir?"
"May Allah and the Mahdi, grace upon him, always smile upon you," Jakob responded in a clear, untroubled voice. "I am Hogal al-Qadir of the Jalin, and we ride under the banner of the Emir Salida."
"I am Al-Nur of the Beja tribe. My master is the famed Emir Osman Atalan, upon whom be all the blessings of Allah."
"He is a mighty man, beloved of Allah, and the ever-victorious Mahdi. May he live long and prosper."
Penrod touched his heart and his forehead.
"I am Suleimani Ifara, a Persian of Jeddah."
Some Persians had fair hair and pale eyes, and Penrod had adopted that nationality to explain his features. It would also account for the slight nuances and inflections in his speech.
"You are a long way from Jeddah, Suleimani Ifara."
Al-Nur rode closer and stared at him thoughtfully.
"The divine Mahdi has declared jihad against the Turk and the Frank," Penrod replied,
All true believers must hearken to his summons, and make haste to join up with him, no matter how hard and long the journey. You are welcome to our array, but if you travel under the banner of Emir Salida, you must ride harder to catch up with him.
We are solicitous of the camels, Jacob explained, but on your advice we will move faster.
They are, indeed, magnificent beasts, Al-Nur agreed. But he was staring at Penrod and not at his mount. He could see only his eyes, but they were the eyes of a jinni and a disconcerting familiarity. Yet it would be a deadly offence to order him to unveil his features.
My master, Osman Atalan, has sent me to inquire if you wish to sell any. He would pay you a good price in gold coin.
I have the utmost respect for your mighty master, Penrod replied, but rather would I sell my firstborn son.
I have said before, and I say again, that they are magnificent creatures. My master will be saddened by your reply.
Al-Nur lifted his reins to turn away, then paused.
There is aught about you, Suleimani Ifara, your eyes or your voice, that is familiar.
Have we met before?
Penrod shrugged.
Perhaps in the mosque of Omdurman?
Perhaps, Al-Nur said dubiously. But if I had seen you before, I will remember. My memory is good.
We go on ahead to find our commander, Jacob intervened. May the sons of Islam triumph in the battle that looms ahead.
Al-Nur turned to him. I pray that your words may carry to the ear of God. Victory is sweet, but death is the ultimate purpose of life. It is the key to paradise. If the victory is denied to us, may Allah grant us glorious martyrdom.
He touched his heart in farewell salute.
Go with the blessings of Allah.
He galloped away to rejoin his squadron.
The Emir Atalan, Jacob whispered in awe. We ride in the same company as your most deadly enemy. This is the same as carrying a cobra in your bosom.
Al-Nur has granted us permission to leave his banner, Penrod reminded him. Let us make all haste to obey.
They stirred up the camels with the goad and pushed them into a trot. As they pulled away, Penrod looked across at the distant group of Agajirs. Now that he knew what to look for, he recognized the elegant figure of Osman Atalan in a bone-white jibba with gaily coloured patches that caught the eye like jewels. On his lovely pale mare, he was riding a few lengths ahead of the rest of his band. He was staring at Penrod, and even at that distance his gaze was disturbing. Behind his master, Al-Nur drew his rifle from its boot under his knee and pointed it to the sky. Penrod saw the spurt of blue powder smoke a few seconds before the report reached his ears. He lifted his own rifle and returned this feu de joie. Then they rode on. They were challenged several times during the rest of the day. The quality of their camels and their obvious haste marked them out even among this huge gathering of animals and men. Each time they asked for the red banner of Emir Salida of the Jalin, they were told, "He leads the vanguard," and they were pointed ahead. Penrod pushed on rapidly. Ever since the meeting with Al-Nur, he had felt uneasy. They paused in their journey only once more. One of the petty traders who followed the armies called to them as they passed. They turned aside to inspect his wares. He had rounds of durra bread, roasted in camel's milk, butter and sesame seeds. He showed them also dried dates and apricots and goat's milk cheese, whose high aroma started their saliva. They filled their food bags, and Penrod paid the exorbitant prices with Maria Theresa dollars. When they rode on, the merchant watched them until they were well out of earshot, then called his son, who handled the pack of donkeys. I know that man well. He marched with Hicks Pasha to El Obaid at the start of the war of jihad. I sold him a gold inlaid dagger, and he bargained shrewdly. I would never mistake him for another. He is an infidel and a Frankish effendi. His name is Abadan Riji. Go, my son, to the mighty Emir Osman Atalan, and tell him all these things. Tell him that an enemy marches in the ranks of the warriors of Allah.